Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Maseches Yoma has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shmuley Katz, Le'ilei Nishmas, Mar Ishana Labas, Reb Shraga Fleischman, and Reb Shimon ben Reb David.
Yuma Daf Nun Hei. The Gemara at the top of the Omud is explaining that which it says in the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol is Mazek Kimatzleif, and the Gemara says, Machvi Reb Yehuda Kiminagdino. Reb Yehuda demonstrated this, Kiminagdino. There's machlekes rishonim what this means exactly. Kiminagdina. Rashi says kimaka biratzua shemaschil minak tofayim umaka vohilech lemato. Kiminagdina means that when a shliach bezdin gives malchus to somebody, he doesn't give him all the malchus in one spat. Rather, the first mako is higher up on the person's body, and the next mako is each one is lower than the previous one. So too the kohen gadol when he did the hazois, he did not hold his hand at the same height. As for each hazah, he positioned his hand a bit lower than the previous hazah. Rashi on Daf Tes Vov Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschol Kemenagdino, says similarly, Keshliach Bezdin Hamaka Beretzua Zu Lemata Mezu She'ein Hamaka B'mokon Me'echod. Rashi on Nun Gimel Amud Beis on the Mishnah as well, Rashi says, Kematzleif B'shura Zu Tachazu Kol Shmoyne Hazois. He did each hazah at a different height, and therefore they landed on the ground in a row, all the eight hazois. Now the Gemara here continues and brings a braisa, kishu umazo, einim maza al kapayres, el keneged oivyo shal kapayres. The Kohen Gadol's hazois do not reach on top of the gag of the kapayres, like Rashi explains. Rather, he positions his hand opposite the oivyo, the thickness of the kapayres. However, none of the hazois reached the kapayres, not on top of the kapayres, nor on the oivyo, the thickness of the kapayres, they all fell to the ground. And the Braisa continues, Kishu maza lemalo mitzadet yodo lemato. Ukishu maza lemato mitzadet yodo lemalo. Rashi explains that the Gemara was bothered by what does it mean that he does achas lemalo v'sheva lemato, which is learned from the Lashon of the Pasuk, ala kapayres and lifnei kapayres. If it doesn't mean that it falls on top of the kapayres and on the side of the kapayres, they all fall to the ground, so what does it mean ala kapayres and lifnei kapayres? On that the Braisa answers, that is referring to the position that the Kohen Gadol held his hand when he did the hazois. When he did the one lamalo, he was mitzadet yodo lamato, meaning the back of his hand was facing downwards, the palm was facing upwards. And he did the hazois with an upward motion. The sheva lamato, there he was mitzadet yodo lamalo, meaning the back of his hand was upwards, his palm was facing downwards, and he did the hazois with a downward motion. Now the Lech Mishnah in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Perek Gimel, Halacha Hey, he quotes Rashi, and he points out that according to Rashi, that which the Gemara brings a braisa about how the Kohen Gadol is mitzadet yodoi, that is not an explanation of what it means kiminagdina. There are two different issues over here. Kiminagdina is an explanation, what does it mean kimatzleif? That Rashi learns that we're referring to the height that the Kohen Gadol held his hand at the time of the hazah. The braisa is referring to something else, the position that the Kohen Gadol held his hand, and that's to answer what's the pshat in the pasuk of ala kapayres and lifnei kapayres. And according to Rashi, the way we read the Mishnah says, v'loy hayu miskaven lahazlis leilamala v'loy lamato, that means to say that the dam did not land on top of the kapayres, nor on the side of the kapayres. So where did the dam land? Ela kematzleif, it landed in a row on the floor. And the Mishnah is not addressing what does the pasuk mean when it says ala kapayres v'lifnei kapayres. That the braisa on Daf Nun Hey addresses that it's referring to the way the Kohen Gadol positions his hand. This is Shitas Rashi in the sugya. Now the Tosfos Hashanim earlier on Daf Tes Vov Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschol Kemenagdino, he quotes Rashi and he asks that we do not find anywhere in Shas this concept that a shliach bezdin is not supposed to give malchus in the same spot. And therefore, he has a different pshat on what it means, kiminagdina. He quotes this b'shem the Rabbeinu Hazokain and b'shem the Oruch. He says, kiminagdin means something else, that at the time the Shliach Bezdin gives malchus to a person, the Shliach Bezdin stands behind the person, and some of the malchus he does on the front of the person's body, and some of them he does on the person's back. And when he's doing the malchus on the front of the person, he leans over from behind, and his fingers are facing downward. At the time he's giving the mako, the back of his hand is upwards, but his fingers facing downwards. However, when he does the malchus on the person's back, then the back of the Shliach Bezdin's hand is facing downwards, and his fingers are facing upwards. And the Gemara means to say, so too the Kohen Gadol, when he did the hazois, When he did the Azor Lemalo, the back of his hand was facing downward, and his fingers were facing upward. When he did the Azor Islamato, the back of his hand was facing upward, and his fingers were facing downward. And the Lecha Mishnah points out that according to this, the Braisa in Er Gemara, which explains, Keshu's Mazel Lemalo Metzadet Yod Lemato, Ukeshu Mazel Lemato Metzadet Yod Lemalo, this is an explanation of what it means, Kiminagdina, not like Rashi. According to Tosis, the Gemara is explaining that just like a Menagdina, a Shliach Bezdin, sometimes his hand is facing upward and sometimes downward, also the Azois of the Kohen Gadol, sometimes it's facing upward and sometimes it's facing downward. And according to Tosis, the Mishnah reads differently than Rashi. When the Mishnah says, Lohayu Miskavan Lahazis, Leilamalo Veleilamato, he wasn't Maza on the Kapiris, nor on the side of the Kapiris, Ela Kematzleif, the Mishnah is coming to explain what does it mean, Ala Kapiris Velifnea Kapiris. If it doesn't mean where the dam is supposed to land, what does it mean? On that the Mishnah says, Kimatzleif, that it's referring to the position that the Kohen Gadol held his hand. Unlike Rashi, like we said before, Ela Kimatzleif, according to Rashi, is telling us that if the dam did not land on the Kapiris, where did it land? On the floor in a row. And the Mishnah does not explain, how do we explain the Pasuk Ala Kapiris Vilefnei Kapiris? That is explained later on in the Braisa, that it means how the Kohen Gadol held his hand. Now the Gemara continues, Menohani Mili, Rashi explains, how do we know that the achas lamala of the par and the achas lamala of the soyer, that the Torah does not mean literally that it should fall ala kapiris on the gag of the kapiris? On this, the Gemara answers, from the pasuk v'hiza oisa ala kapiris v'lefnei kapiris, the Gemara says that lefnei kapiris in this pasuk is extra, la'kushay al l'lefnei, to compare al and lefnei. Ma lefnei de lav al, af al de lav al. Just like lefnei does not mean that it actually touches the kapiris, rather it falls in front of the kapiris, also al does not mean that it should land on the kapiris. In other words, that we knew misvara, that lifnei kapiris, does not mean that it actually touches the kapiris, rather it lands in front of it, also al kapiris does not mean that it touches the kapiris. Now the Gevur Sari over here asks the kasha on our sugya from the Gemara in Menachos Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. There's machlokes over there between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. When the pasuk says al pnei hakapiris, which is referring to the isser al yovei b'chaleis el hakodesh al pnei hakapiris, not to come lifnai ulifnim, in front of the kapiris, Rabbanan over there learned that el pnei hakapiris is lav dafka. The Torah does not mean only directly in front of the kapiris, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it means dafka. You only chayav misa if you come directly in front of the kapiris. And the Gemara says similarly. They also argue when the pasuk says v'hiza el noichach pnei oyel moed. When you're mazeh from the dam of the Parah Aduma towards the Oyel Moed, doesn't mean literally that it has to be in the direction of the Oyel Moed, or even off to the side, perhaps it's kosher as well. Here also the Gemara says that according to Rabbanon, Noichach Prei Oyel Moed is lav dafka, and according to Yehuda it's dafka. And then the Gemara continues, what about the Pasuk Al Pnei HaKapiris by the Hazoi Sadam on Yom Kippur? The Gemara says that according to the Rabbanon, we understand it's lav dafka, and therefore even during the Migdash Sheni, when there was no Arin, still the Kohen Gadol was able to do these Hazois. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda that it's bedafka, how were we able to do these Hazois by the Migdash Sheni when there was no Arin? On this, the Gemara answers a drasha from a pasuk, v'chiper es Migdash HaKodesh, mokim ha-mekudesh l'kodesh. We learn from a pasuk that even a mokim which does not have the Arin, rather it has the kedusha of the Arin, meaning to say the area in the Kodesh HaKadoshim where the Aron was supposed to be that has a special Kedusha, Kedusha Sa'aron, and therefore Hazois in front of that were also kosher. And the Gevur Sari asks, how does our sugya fit with this sugya in Menachos? According to the Rabbanan over there, El Pnei HaKapiris is Lav Dafka, and therefore the Gemara understands that even when there was no Aron Bechlal, still you were able to do these Hazois. So what does our Gemara need a drasha to tell us that the Hazois do not have to land on the Kapiris? Al HaKapiris is Lav Dafka, doesn't have to mamish land on the Kapiris. And furthermore, according to Behuda over there, that it would be Dafka, and therefore the Gemara asks that if there's no Arin, then we should not be able to do Hazois. But Lemaisa, after our Gemara says, La Kushay Al Lilifnei, that the Hazois do not have to actually land on the Kapiris, so what is the Gemara asking over there that according to Behuda, when there's no Arin, you should not be able to do the Hazois? Our Gemara already makes a drasha to tell us that the Hazois do not have to land on the Kapiris. This is the Gevur Sari's kasha, that the two sugyas do not seem to coincide, as to you not fit, not according to the Rabbanon, nor according to Rabbi Yehuda. And he leaves off with Tzorachin. Now as far as his kasha according to Rabbi Yehuda, Perhaps we could be madchik that even though our Gemara does say that we're makish al to lifnei, and it does not have to actually land on the kapayres, but it would seem that it still has to land directly in front of the kapayres. Just like lifnei kapayres means directly in front, so al would also mean not mamish on top, but also directly in front. But still, if there would be no kapayres at all, like during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the chayot should still be possible. The Gemara never said that it's lav dafka bechlal. The Gemara only said that it doesn't have to land on top of the kapayres. And therefore the Gemara in Menachos is asking that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the hazois would still have to be bedafka right in front of the kapayres. How could they do these hazois by the second Beis HaMikdash? However, according to the Rabbanon, the Gvursari's kasha remains, if El and Al is always lav dafka, so here as well, why would we need a drasha to tell us that it does not have to actually land on top of the kapayres? Here also we should say, al pnei kapayres is lav dafka. Now perhaps we can suggest a mahalach to answer this kasha of the Gvuras Ari, but first we'll be makdim with an important yesod from Reb Leib Malin on the sugya. In the Chedusha Rabbi Yileib, Chelik Beis, Simen Yud Zayin, he says that the hazois on Yom Kippur, bein abadim, and on the pereiches, these hazois were fundamentally different from regular hazois that were done always on the Mizbeach. But derech klal hazois that have to be done on the Mizbeach, there's a specific place where the dam has to reach. Depending on the type of korban, achatos, the mokim matan dam is the kronis of the Mizbeach. By oila and shlomim, it's shtayim shem arba, the dam has to reach the four sides of the Mizbeach. Over there there's a din where the dam has to touch. Only once the dam touches the proper place on the Mizbeach, the kapara of the carbon is accomplished. Masha'inkein the hazois bein habadim on Yom Kippur, and the hazois on the pereiches as well, when the Torah describes to us where these hazois, where this matan dam is supposed to be done, it's not that the Torah is telling us where the dam has to reach in order to accomplish the kapara. Rather, it's a different din where the Maisa Hazah has to be done. The dam does not really have to reach anywhere. The Torah is merely describing the Maisa Hazah, where the Kohen Gadol stands, and in which direction he's mazed the dam, but even if the dam would vanish mid-air, the kapara would still be accomplished. There's no din where the dam has to reach. And even though Rashi in a number of places says that the dam is Neufel La'aretz, Rashi does not mean that there's a din that the dam has to actually land on the ground in front of the kapayres or in front of the pareiches, like we'll see later on, the hazois in the front of the pareiches as well do not have to reach the pareiches. Rashi does not mean that there's a din they must land there. Rashi is merely telling us, the Matthias, that the dam falls to the ground. But actually you do not need the dam to reach any specific place in order to accomplish the kapara. And he says this has practical nafkaminos. One example he gives is there's a Mishnah L'melech in Perek Gimel, Avodas Yom HaKippurim Halacha Hei, based on a Tosis in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Tes Vov Omer Aleph, tells us an interesting din, Hayimaze v'nikta yodos shel maze ad shelo higi adam la'avir ha-mizbeach. What happens if the Kohen, he sprinkles the dam, but till it actually reaches the Mizbeach, he already became a Baal Mum. His hand was severed, and he's no longer ready to do the Avodah. And the Gemara over there says that the din is that it's possible. We learn from a pasuk v'hiza v'nosan that until the dam actually reaches the Mizbeach, the Avodah is not complete, and therefore the Kohen has to remain kosher until the Avodah is over. If he became a Baal Mum before the dam reached the Mizbeach, the Avodah is possible. And the Mishnah Melech is mevur that the Hazah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, lifnei ha-kapayres, since it does not have to actually reach the kapayres, so it does not have this din. If the Kohen Gadol will become a Baal Mum immediately after the dam leaves his hand, the Avodah will still be kosher. And Reb Leib explains, the pshat is, that there, since there's no din where the dam must reach, so the Avodah is complete immediately after the dam leaves his hand. Whereas Hazois on the Mizbeach, that have to reach the Mizbeach, there the Avodah is not complete until they actually reach there. With this Yesod, Reb Leib also explains a Rashi in Zvachim. Rashi over there says that the Kohen Gadol has to stand bein habadim at the time he's mazeh the hazois in front of the kapayres. The truth is, this is mashma from our Mishnah as well on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "Omad b'mokim she'omad." He stands in the same place where he put the kapayres, which is bein habadim, And Reb Leib asks, is there actually a din that the Kohen Gadol must stand bein habadim? If the Kohen Gadol would stand a bit off to the side, and his hazois would reach right in front of the kapiras, wouldn't that also be kosher? Why is this any different than from any other matan dam on the mizbeach, where there's no din where the Kohen must stand at the time he does the matan dam? As long as the dam reaches the place where it has to reach, by a chatos on the keren of the mizbeach, or by an oil of shlomim, shtayim shem arba, the Kohen can stand anywhere he wants as long as the dam gets where it's supposed to reach. And he explains the difference is with this yesod. By the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the mokim that the Torah describes for the hazah is not a mokim where the dam has to reach. It's a mokim where the avodah must be done. And in order for it to be considered that the hazah was done in front of the kapiras, the Kohen who's doing the avodah also has to be standing in that specific mokim. Whereas other matanis on the mizbeach, there's no din where the Kohen has to stand, because there the din mokim that the Torah describes is just a din where the dam has to reach. As long as the dam reaches there, there's no din where the Kohen must be standing. Now this yesod is all based on the fact that the dam does not have to reach on the kapiras. Like the drasha Agamara makes, la kushay al lilifnei, that al does not actually mean that it reaches on top of the kapiras. However, before this drasha, if the dam would have to actually reach on the kapiras, then it would be posher to Reb Leib that the din hazov in Yom Kippur on top of the kapiras is not any different than matan dam on the mizbeach. The Torah is telling us where the dam has to reach. Here too, the Torah would be telling us the dam has to land on the kapiras in order to be machshir the carbon. And if so, perhaps we can answer the kasha of the Gvur Sari. He asked from the Gemara in Menachos Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, according to the Shita of the Rabbanon, that hold that whenever the Torah says Al or El, it does not mean Dafka, it could even be off to the side. So Bishlam on the cases that the Gemara brings, when the Torah describes the Hazoyis Dam by the Parah Adumo, which have to be done towards the Pnei Oyal Mayid, so there the Rabbanon hold it's Lav Dafka, even if it's not Mamish in that direction, rather it's Litzdodim off to the side, that's also good enough. Or when the Torah describes who's Chayiv Misa for coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it says Al Pnei HaKapiras, it's Lav Dafka, it doesn't have to be directly in front of the Kapiras, it could even be off to the side. But those are cases where something has to be done in front of something or towards something. But here, when the Torah would be telling us that the Kohen has to get the dam on top of the Kapiras, here surely we would not say that it's Lav Dafka. If the Kapiras would be like the Mizbeach, the Kapara of the carbon is accomplished by the dam reaching on top of the kapiras, then surely we wouldn't say it's Lav Dafka. If the dam never got there, there is no kapara. It's only after Agamara already made the drasha that the dam does not have to reach the kapiras, al kilifnei, that it just has to reach in front of the kapiras. So here, like Reb Leib said, it's not a din where the dam has to land. Rather, it's a description of the Maisa Hazah. It has to be done in front of the kapiras, towards the kapiras. So here already the Gemara in Menachos could say that according to the Shita of the Rabbanon, that Al and El is Lav Dafka, so here also, even if it wasn't mamish towards the Kapiras, even if the Kapiras was not there Bechlal, also it would be kosher. But again, this is only after we know there's no din where the dam has to reach. So the two Gemaras are not soister each other. We need the Josh and Er Gemara to tell us the dam does not have to actually reach on top of the Kapiras, rather it has to be done in front of the Kapiras, towards the Kapiras. On that, the Gemara Menachos tells us that this is telling the Machlokes Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, is that Mamish Bedafka, what about if it's not really towards the Kapiras, or even if the Kapiras is not there, it would also be kosher, according to the Rabbanan. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be Dafka, it would have to be towards the Kapiras, and if the Kapiras is not there, it would be possible. Now further down the Amud, the Gemara discusses how the Kohen Gadol counted out the Hazois. The Gemara brings the Machlokes Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara says, Marki Asrei, Umarki Asrei. Then the Gemara continues, Dekuli Alma Mio, Hazor Rishayna Tzricha Minyin Im Kol Achas Va'achas. Everyone's maskim that you have to count the first Hazor together with the rest of the seven Hazois. The Gemara says, My Taimo, Rabbi Lezer Oimer Shula Yita Ba'Hazois, you should not come to make a mistake. And Rabbi Yechanan learns from a pasuk from the extra word Yazeh, that the first Hazor has to be counted with the other seven Hazois. And the Gemara continues, "May benayu, what's the nafkamino? Ike benayu deloy mona veloy ta," which kipshutai means if he didn't count it, but he did not make a mistake. So according to Rabbi Lazar, it's kosher. It was only a din that he should not come to make a mistake. According to Rabbi Yechanan and Lamaisa, he didn't count it, And like Rashi says, that it says chukah, this would apply also to this din, if you are not meina, the first hazah with the other seven hazahs, it will be ma'akev b'di'evet. Now firstly, we see from the sugya that everyone's maskim, that the seven hazahs lamato have to be counted. Where does that come from? So the Taisis Yishonim quotes at Teres Kayanim, it says, midiksiv sheva pa'omim, v'loiksiv sheva tipin, pa'omim is mashma minyan. From that pasuk we see that the seven hazahs have to be counted. That's the Kuli Alma. And there's a machlokes if we also learn that the first hazah has to be counted with the rest of the seven. The Rosh Hashanah over here points out that by Par Helam Dovar and Par Koyin HaMashiach, there also the Torah uses this lashon of Sheva Pa'omim. And therefore there as well, the Koyin should have to count out the seven hazahs. And he says, Einach Hanami, the Torah's Koyinim says so by Par Koyin Mashiach as well, that you have to count the hazahs. However, the Rosh Hashanah leaves Tzarech in, why does the Rambam not bring this din? Rambam does not mention by Par Koyin HaMashiach that we have to count out the Hazois. Now the truth is that we could also point out in the Rambam that in Hilchas Avodas Yom HaKippurim, he paskins in Er Sugyo, like Rabbi Lozer, that the reason you have to count the first Hazah together with the other seven is Shelo Yiteh, and therefore the Rambam would hold that if you did not count it together, it would not be Ma'akiv. However, L'chaira, if you did not count the seven, then it should be Ma'akiv. Since the Torah's Koine makes this drosha that the seven have to be counted, and Chukah would refer to that as well, the Rambam should have to tell us that if he did not count the seven, then it is possible b'di'evet. That's a ha'ara on the Rambam, which Amir Tashem will get back to later. Now what does it mean exactly according to Rabbi Lozer Shelo Yiteh? Rashi explains, She'yehelo yishuhus b'intayim losis libay l'minyin Shelo Yiteh. If he counts achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh, achas v'arba, while he's saying the achas each time, he's concentrating on the next number, then there's less of a chance that he'll make a mistake in the counting. However, the Taisis Hishonim that we quoted before, Dibur Mascha Limur Al-Azor Yishayno, he quotes the Riva that learns differently. He says that the Tais that we're concerned about is that he might count the first Hazah as part of the Cheshbon of seven. He'll do achas l'malo, and then when he starts l'mato, he'll start already from number two, and he'll only end up doing six hazois l'mato instead of seven hazois. However, the Tosfos Hashanim continues, if so, why don't we just tell the Kohen Gadol to count to eight? Why does he have to count achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim? Tell him to count to eight, and he'll do one l'malo and seven l'mato. On this, the Tosfos Hashanim answers that you can't do that. He says, the mitzvah lahafsik b'matonis shalamato mitoich shivo, v'loi mitoich shmoino. He has to count to seven when he does the matanis lamato, and he can't count to eight. The final hazah lamato has to be number seven, and not number eight. And he says the Yushalmi is mavur like this as well. The Yushalmi says b'shem Rabbi Yechanan, the reason why you have to count the first with the seven is kadesh shelo yiteh, which is actually the opposite of our Gemara. And our Gemara, Rabbi Lozer was the one who says shelo yiteh, Rabbi Yechanan was the one who says that it's learned from the pasuk. The Yushalmi has Rabbi Yechanan saying the other way around. And Derech Agav, this is the Lecha Mishnah's explanation why the Rambam paskins like the Svar of Shelo Yiteh, not like Rabbi Yechanan in Er Sugyo, because he paskins like Rabbi Yechanan in the Yushalmi. But Al Kapanim, the Yushalmi says B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan Shelo Yiteh, and Rabbi Zera adds, Kedei Sheyigmar Hazosoi Mitoich Shiva. And the Tosfos Hashanim understands that Rabbi Zera is not coming to argue on Rabbi Yechanan, rather he's coming to explain Rabbi Yechanan, and he was bothered by if the concern is Shelo Yiteh, why don't we just tell him to count till 8? On this, Rabbi Zera answers, note that the Hazois Lamata have to end with number 7. Here again, it's mashmar that it's posher to us that the Hazois Lamata have to have a minion, like the Torah's Koyim learned from the Pasuk of Pa'omim, that there has to be a counting till 7. And this is what Rabbi Zera is saying in the Yerushalmi, that there's a din, that the Hazois Lamata have to be counted through until number 7. If you're going to start with number 2 and end with number 8, then you won't be mekayim this din of Sheva Pa'omim. This is the Pashtus of the Yerushalmi. However, we'll see that there's another Mahalach. The Chedusha Yagriz al Rambam, page 96, he has an Arichos in Er Sugyo. He brings this Tosfos Hashanim b'shem the Yerushalmi, and he builds from this an important Yesod, which is Nageya any time that there's Zayin Hazois, whether it's the Hazois Lufnayu Lufnim, or on the Pareches, or the Zayin Hazois of a Parah Aduma, Noichach Pnei Oyel Moed. And he says, these places where we find Zayin Hazois, they're Cholak B'Yesoidim, they're fundamentally different then, for example, the four hazois of a chatas on the Mizbeach. When we say that a chatas needs four hazois, let's say, for example, by chatois apnimiois, where all four hazois on the Mizbeach apnimi, they're ma'akiv, or for example, according to Shitas Beis Shammai, chatas chitzoinis, where the dam goes on the Mizbeach achitzoin, two of the hazois are leikuva. We hold the maisa that even one hazois is machshir lekarbon. But al kaponim, four hazois by chatos apnimis with their ma'akiv, or two hazois according to Beis Shammai, the Brisker Rav says that each hazois is independent. It's not that it's one set of four hazois. Masha'enke, when the Torah tells us zayin hazois, there the pshat is that it's one set. It's a set of seven hazois, and not seven independent hazois. In other words, a hazois, which is not part of a set of seven, is nothing on its own. It's meaningless. Only a hazah, which is a chelik of a set of seven, that has a shem hazah for the cases when you need zayin hazois. Let's give one example that the Brisker Rav mentions, which will help clarify this difference. Tosfos in Menachos Daf Tes Zayin says, legabei the din of pigol. If a kohen has machsheves pigol in one of the avodos, it passes the carbon. If someone afterwards eats from the carbon, he's chayev kares. And there's a machlokes tanoim between Rabbanon and Rameyer, if mefaglim bechatzi matir or ein mefaglim bechatzi matir. In other words, if he has machsheves pigol in one chelik of the avodah, but not in the other chelik of the avodah, is that enough to make the carbon into pigol? For example, a mincha needs a haktara of the kaimetz and a haktara of the levina, the ktaris which is on top of the mincha. And if you had a machsheves pigol in only one of them, for example, in the haktara of the kaimetz and not in the haktara of the levina, then according to the Rabbanon, it's not pigol because you only had a machshava in part of the avodah. According to Rameyer, mefaglin b'chatzi matir, it is pigol. However, the Gemara in Zvachim says that if he had a machshavas pigol in chatzi kaimetz, in other words, when he was makter part of the kaimetz, he had a machshavas pigol, and when he was makter the rest of the kaimetz, he did not have machshavas pigol, that even according to Rameyer is not pigol, because a half of a kaimetz is nothing on its own. It's not even considered chatzi avodah. Now what about if the kohen has machsheves pigol in part of the hazois hadam? So the Gemara in Zvachim Dav Lamed Ches says that if the kohen had machsheves pigol in one of the matonis hadam by emchatos apnimis, all four matonis are ma'akiv the hechsher. If he had a machsheves pigol in one of the matonis, the Gemara says that this is totally in the machloikas Rameyer and the Rabbanon. According to Rameyer, that mefagl mechatzi matir, this is also considered that he had machsheves pigol in part of the avodah. However, Tosfos in Menachos Daf Tes Zayin says that if the Kohen had Machsheves Pigol when he was Zayrik part of the seven Hazois Bifnim, like Bein Abadim or on the Pareiches, if he did not have Machsheves Pigol in all of them, only in some of them, Tosfos says that's like a Machshova in half of a Koimitz. In other words, it's not considered a Machsheves Pigol in part of an Avodah, rather it's like a Machsheves Pigol in something which is not an Avodah at all. Just like if you're Makter half a Koimitz, a half a Koimitz on its own is nothing, so part of the seven hazois on their own is nothing. And the Brisker Rav explains, what's the difference between the Gemara and Zvachim Lamed Ches, that some of the four matonois of a chatois apnimius, that is called mefaglim b'chatzi matir, it is considered part of an avodah, but some of the seven hazois, that's considered nothing on its own. And the Brisker Rav explains, using this yesod, that when we have to do a hazah of a set of seven, so one or two out of them is nothing on its own. If it's not part of a set of seven, then it's not even a partial avodah. Masha'enke nechatas pnimis, which needs four matonois on the mizbeach apnimi, each matona is independent. It does not have to be part of a set of four matonois. And as long as the carbon in the end had a total of four independent matonois, then with that the kapara of the carbon is accomplished. And therefore, even if the kohen had machsheves pigol in one of the matonois, according to Rameyer, we say mefaglim b'chatzi avodah. He had a machshavas pigol in part of the avodah. And the Brisker Rav says, where does this yesod come from? How do we know that when we have to do zayin matonois, then the pshat is it has to be part of a set of seven, and one on its own is nothing? The Brisker Rav says that the yesod is from Er Sugya. Er Sugya is mevur that the zayin matonois need a minyan. You have to count them. There's machloikis if the first matona, the one shalamala, also has to be counted together with the seven, but everyone's masking that the seven themselves have to be counted. And like Tosfos Hashanim quotes from the Sifra, that we learn this out from the pasuk that says Sheva Pa'omim, that we learn that there has to be a minyan. And like we see further from the Yerushalmi that the Tosfos Hashanah brings, that there has to be a minyan of Sheva and not Shmoina. From the fact that you have to count out the Matanos, that's Muchach, that there has to be a set of seven. And it's not just a din, that the carbon has to have a total of seven independent Hazois. And the Brisk Rav proves that this is true by Parah as well. Any place where the Torah says seven Hazois, the pshat is that they need a group of seven, and a Hazoh, which is not part of a set, is not worth anything on its own. And he brings other rayas to this Yesod from the Gemara in Zvachim and from a Sifri. But then he continues and he says, how is it that we see from the word Sheva Pa'omim that you need a minyan, that you have to count out the Hazois? Where do you see anything from Pa'omim about a Dibur, about the Kohen Gadol speaking? And he explains the din based on a Mishnah in Meseches Parah, Perek Dalid. The Mishnah over there is talking about the Hazois that you have to do Noichach Pnei Oyel Moed by the Parah Aduma. And the Mishnah says, Hiza Mishishis Shvius, V'chazer V'hiza Shvius Psula. Meaning, if after the fifth Hazah, he counted the seventh Hazah, and then afterwards he went back and did the sixth Hazah, the din is that it's possible. This is the way the Rash and the Mefarshim and the Mishnayis explain. That he has to count the fifth one, and then the sixth one, and then the seventh one. If after the fifth, he said that the next Hazah is the seventh, so the Hazois are not in order, and it's possible. And the Rosh over there in the Pirush Mishnayis explains that really you do not have to count Bechlal. If you're Maza all the seven Hazois B'shtiko, it's also kosher. However, if you did count and you made a mistake, then it's worse and it's possible. And the Brisk Rav explains that it means like this. That really there's a din that all the seven Hazois have to be in order. And that's learned from the Pasuk that says Pa'omim. Pa'omim tells us that the seven Hazois have to be numbered. They have to be a seven consecutive Hazois, meaning the first one is counted as number one, the next one is considered number two, and then number three. It's not just that the para has to have seven Hazois, even randomly, rather one has to be designated as the first, another has to be designated as the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and onward. And therefore, if he does the seventh before the sixth, the Hazois are not in the right order, then it's possible. And the Rosh is adding that really, you could do the Hazois b'shtika. You don't have to count them out. Rather, by default, the first one that you do automatically is considered number one. The second one that he does automatically gets the shame of number two. However, if he does choose to count, and after the fifth Hazah, he says seven, so really he's designating this Hazah as the seventh Hazah. And then afterwards he's doing the sixth Hazah. So the Hazois are out of order. Through his Dibor, he caused that the Hazah after the fifth one was really the seventh Hazah. And once the Hazois are not Kisidron, then it's possible. In other words, that the problem over here is not that he didn't do a proper minyan. He doesn't have to do a minyan Bechlal. Rather, the problem is that the Hazois are out of order. From here again, the Brisk Rav proves that the seven Hazois have to have Shaychas to each other. They have to be a set of seven. And not only that, they have to be consecutive. They have to be designated as number one through number seven. An additional raya he has to this is from the Tosefta in Paro. The Tosefta says that we do not need that one Kayin does all of the Hazois. We can have seven different Kayinim, each one doing one Hazah. But if seven Kayinim do a Hazah at the same time, then it's possible. And the Rash explains that this is learned from the Pasuk of Sheva Pa'omim, that it has to be Zeh Achar Zeh. And the Brisk Rav explains that it's the same Yisoid. There has to be a set of seven Hazois, and there has to be one designated as the first one of the set, the next one, the second one of the set, and if you're maza at the same time seven Hazois, then there's nothing designating one as number one and another Hazah as number two. And therefore there's a problem, they're not kisidron, they're not consecutive, and therefore it's possible. And according to what the Brisk Rav says, that this is only a yisoid by the Zayin Hazois, but by Chatas Apnimius, which needs four Matanois on the four Kronois, there the din would be that if at the same moment four different Kaihanim each put the dam on a different Karen, it would be kosher. Lamai said the carbon had four matanois. You don't need that they should be a consecutive set. And with this, the Brisk Rav explains what is really the limud from the pasuk that says Sheva Pa'omim. That it's not really a din, there has to be a dibur over here. Rather, there's a din that the seven hazois have to be kisidron. They have to be one after the other. This could be accomplished through counting them out by designating the first hazah as number one and the next hazah as number two. Now with this, the Brisk Rav explains a new pshat in the Yerushalmi that the Tosfos Hashanim brought. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kadesh Layita, the reason why you have to count the one with the seven is so you should not make a mistake. And Zaira adds, Kadesh Yigmar has also Mitaych Shiva. The Tosfos Hashanim understood that Zaira was bothered by, if we're concerned about making a mistake, just count to eight. On that, Zaira answered, no, that the counting has to end with seven and not eight. But the Brisk Rav says a different pshat. Zaira is coming to explain to Rabbi Yochanan that when he says Kadesh Layita, Rabbi Yochanan did not mean that he'll make a mistake and he'll only end up doing a total of six hazayis lemata as opposed to seven. Rather, what Rabbi Yochanan meant is he'll make a mistake in the minyan. He'll include the first hazayah lemala and he'll count the sixth one as number seven. And therefore, even if he does end up doing seven hazayis lemata, but since he made a mistake in the minyan, he counted the sixth one as seven, that's also possible. And the Brisk Rav continues, he says, Ula yesh leimar, perhaps you can say, a new pshat in Er Suga as well. Our Gemara has that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you have to count the one hazayah lemala together with the seven hazayis lemata. Rabbi Yochanan surely holds that you have to be meineh bepeh, you have to count the seven, and you also have to count the one together with the seven. Rabbi Yochanan understands that chukah is said also about the minyan, and if you don't count the seven bepeh, or even if you don't count the one together with the seven, that will also passel. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you don't have to count the one with the seven midairaisa, it's only a din shelo yite. And the Gemara says, Iker beinayu de loy mona ve loy ta'o. Kipshute, we understand, de loy ta'o means he didn't make a mistake, he actually did seven lamato and not six. But the Brisk Rav says, this is poshut. Why does the Gemara have to speak out de loy ta'o? Obviously, if he only did six lamato, then it's poshut. So the Brisk Rav explains that Rabbi Eliezer holds the actual Maisa Minyan is not Ma'akiv. If he was Loi Mono, even if he didn't count the seven, it's also kosher. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the drosha of the Teres Kainim, Sheva Pa'omim, like the Brisk Rav explains, it's not really a din that one must count Bipeh. It's really just telling us that the seven Hazois have to be in order, they have to be numbered from one to seven. But if he did count, and he made a mistake, he called the Shishas Shvius, then it's possible. Similar to the way the Rosh says by Paro, that even if you don't have to be Meineh Bepeh, but if you make a mistake, and you call the sixth one number seven, then it is possible. That's what the Gemara means, Loi Moneh V'Loi Ta'ah. If he did not count the one with the seven, but he did not make any mistakes in counting of the seven, then it's kosher. But if he did make a mistake in counting of the seven, in other words, he called the sixth one seven, even if he did end up doing seven Hazayis Lemato, it's still possible. Even though you don't have to count the one with the seven, and even the seven, perhaps according to Rabbi Lezer, you don't have to count, but if you do count them, and you make a mistake in the counting, then it will be possible. So it comes out the way the Brisk Rav is learning, that according to Shitas Rabbi Lezer and Er Sugya, which according to the Yerushalmi, that's Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, perhaps there's no din lemaisa that the Kohen Gadol has to be meineh bepeh. The only din is that the seven hazois have to be keseder, they have to be numbered one through seven. And only if he does count them, and he makes a mistake, then it will be possible. And therefore the kasha we asked on the Rambam, that even though the Rambam paskins that you do not have to count the one together with the seven, it's only Kadesh Lo Yite, but the seven Lamata Lachera do have to be counted, like the Joshua of the Teres Kainim, so why does the Rambam not say that if the Kohen Gadol did not count them, then the evidence possible? Perhaps because the Rambam holds that Ein Echanami, it's not Ma'akiv. You don't have to really count them. The only problem is if you will count them and make a mistake, then it will be possible. However, we could still point out in Ha'ara, why did the Rambam not tell us this din, that even if he actually did seven Hazayis Lamata, but he made a mistake in the counting, then also it will be possible. Now the Gvur Sari, earlier on in Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis on the Mishnah that tells us that the Kohen Gadol has to count the seven Hazayis, both the Hazayis that are Lefnai Lefnim and the Hazayis on the Pareiches, and the Mishnah tells us by the Soyer as well, he counts the Hazayis Lefnai Lefnim and on the Pareiches. And the Gvur Sari asks that even though we have a drasha on the Teres Kainim, from the words Sheva Pa'omim, this tells us that there has to be a minyan, this pasuk is only by the Par, and it's only by the Hazayis and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How do we know that there also has to be a minyan by the Hazayis of the Par on the Pareiches? And furthermore, as far as the Soyer is concerned, we don't have a makar that there needs to be a minyan, neither by the Hazayis Lefnai Lefnim, nor on the Hazayis of the Pareiches. What's the makar of the Mishnah that this also needs a minyan? And the Gvur Sari suggests that perhaps we learn it out of a hekesh. The pasuk says, "Ve'also es domoy kasher osu l'adam ha'par." There's a hekesh between the par and the soyer. Perhaps from there we learn that the soyer also needs a minyan. And furthermore, there's another hekesh to be makish the azoyis of nayu lufnim to the azoyis on the proiches. The pasuk says v'chein yaseh la'oyel moed. That's a hekesh to the azoyis bifnim and the azoyis on the proiches. However, he says that l'chera this cannot be the makar because the lashon of the pasuk va'oses damay kash osel damapar and the lashon v'chein yaseh these are lashonis of asiya. This could only be makish that anything that has to be done lifnayu lufnim also has to be done to the proiches. Or anything that's done to the par also has to be done to the soyer. But here we're not referring to asiya. We're referring to a dibur. A dibur cannot be learned from a lashon of asiya. And he brings an example of this from a gemara in Yevamos. But akoponim, he leaves off with the kasha, what's the makar that the other azois need a minyan? And there are those that want to answer this kasha based on the yisoid of the briskerov. The briskerov understood that the minyan over here is not really a din dibur bepeh. It's not the pshat that we need a certain amira of the Kohen Gadol in order to be mashur the hazois. Rather, it's coming to number the hazois so that there'll be a count of 7 consecutive hazois. So whether you hold like Rabbi Lazar and Er Sugyo, which according to the Briskerov, he holds that there's no din that you need a minyan midairaisa, as long as you don't make a mistake, it's kosher. It's only midarabonon that you have to be moine. Or if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, who obviously holds that the minyan is ma'akev midairaisa, but even according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not the pshat that it's the dibur that's ma'akev. Rather, what's ma'akev is that there has to be 7 consecutive hazois, and the only way he holds you can designate one hazo as number 1, and the next hazo as number 2, is by having a minyan bepeh. But either way, the yisoid hadavar is that it's not a din dibur. Rather, it's a din 7 consecutive hazois. And therefore, even though the lashon of the pasuk, which is makish, the par to the soyer, or the hazois bifnim to the hazois of the pareches, the lashon is a lashon of asiya, and the Gevurah Sari said that we would not be able to learn a dibur, this is not really a din dibur. This is really a din asiya. It's a din to have 7 consecutive hazois. And therefore we would be able to learn from the hazois apar bifnim to the hazois apar on the pareches, and from the par to the soyer, from this hekesh. Now at the bottom of the Omer, the Gemara discusses the shayfris that they had in the Beis HaMikdosh. There's machlokes tanoim, whether there was a shofar for kinei chayva. According to the Mandomer, there was a shofar for kinei chayva. So anyone who was mechuyev to bring a cane, a set of a chatos ha'oif and a oilus ha'oif, they put their money into the shofar, and the kohanim would take the money and buy kinim for each person who was mechuyev a cane. Now even though the kohanim did not know which money belonged to which person, that's not a problem. They bought the cane and they were makrivit for whoever the bailim really is. They were makriv l'shem mishahu. Now, like the Tosfos Rosh points out, by a carbon of a behemoth, you would not be able to do this because the Bailam has to do smicha on the carbon, but oifos have no smicha, so all the Bailam have to do is put their money into the shofar, and the kohen buys the cane for them and is makriv it on their behalf. Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says, there were no shofars for kinei chayva, mipnei hatarovis. Rabbi Yosef understands this means mipnei tarovis chayva binedova. Rashi says it means that maybe the Kohanim will switch the shofar of the Chayva and the shofar of the Nedava. And the problem is that the shofar of the Chayva, the Kohanim are supposed to buy for each person one Chata Sa'if and one Oila Sa'if. The shofar of the Nedava, both of them are supposed to be Oila Sa'if. Now the Rashash points out that Lulei Divrei Rashi, if not for Rashi, he would have explained differently, not that the Kohanim would make a mistake, Kohanim's Rizimim, rather, the one who was mechuyev to bring the cane, he would make the mistake and put his money in the wrong shofar. Now, Tosfos over here in Dibra Maschil Pnei Tarovis, he asks the kasha, even if you're not concerned about switching the shofar of chayva for the shofar of the nedava, how could the kohanim buy from the shofar of the chayva kinim for each person who is mechuyev? Why aren't we chayshish that he'll buy a cane with money that's partially from Leah and partially from Rachel? Who said that when he buys a cane, that all the money for that cane will have belonged to one person? Maybe the money will be partially from one person, partially from another person. And Tosfos gives one answer, that each person put their money in a tzroir. He tied it up individually. So when the Kohanim took out the money to buy the kinim, they bought one cane from each tzroir, so they knew that the kinim that they bought was bought from one person's money. The Tosfos HaRosh also asks this kasha, how do we know that each cane came from one person's money? And he adds, Ve'ein Leimar, don't say that at the time they put their money into the box, they made a tnai, that each cane that the kohen buys will belong solely to one person. In other words, they put their money in with that condition that if their money ends up going to someone else's cane, he'll forego his chelek in the other person's cane, and in exchange for that, the other person's money will go towards buying his cane. He says that you can't say that, because that has to come on to Breira. And the Gemara says that Yehuda does not hold of Breira, and still Rabbi Yehuda has to say a different reason why there were no shayfers for kinei chayva. Either like Rabbi Yosef says, mipnei tarevis chayva ben edova, that the two shayfers might get mixed up, or like the Gemara says later on in Amr Beis, mishum chatos shemesu balea. Otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda would have been maskim that there would have been a shayfer for kinei chayva. And therefore, the Tosfos Rosh gives a different teretz. He says that the Kohanim took all the money, and at the same time, they bought kinim for everybody together. And therefore, each person's money went to buy one specific cane. So even though they did not know which money belongs to which person, but each person had enough money to buy one cane, and all the money was given over to buy the kinim at the same time, so each person's money went to buy one cane for him. Now the Sfas Emes and the Siach Yitzchok ask Akasha, according to the Shita of Tosfos, Tosfos says that the money was tzruros, it was tied up, so that we would know each person's money was kept separately. So the Gemara in Amud Beis, when the Gemara is chazer from the original Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says that really if we were concerned about switching the shayfres, then we would be able to do ksiva, even Rabbi Yehuda's maskim that ksiva works. And the Gemara Nun Vav Amud Beis gets back to answering, so what is the Pshat in the Mishnah? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that there was only one kan for the Kohen Gadol to put down the dam of the Sayer and the dam of the Par? Why couldn't we write on the kan whether it was the dam of Sayer or dam of Par? But Al-Kopayim, the Gemara says, so what was the Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? Why was there no Shofar for Kinei Chayva? The Gemara says, because we're Choshesh Gzeira Mishum Chatas Shemesu Baleo. One of the people who put money into the Shofar for a cane, he'll die, and his money won't be able to use because it's a Chatas Shemesu Baleo. And we won't know which money came from the person who died. And the Achrayim ask, once anyways we're keeping the money separately, and we're putting each person's money into a tzur, why can't they just write their name on the tzur? And then if a person dies, we'll know to take out his money, and everyone else's money will be fine, they'll be able to use to buy a cane. And the Siach Yitzchok is madchik, that we don't want to be matriach letzibur to do this. It's easier not to have a shofar bechlal for kinei chayva, and each person who comes to bring a cane, he'll give his money directly to a kohen, and that kohen will go and buy a cane for that person's chayva. Now the Gemara that we mentioned in Amud Beis, the Gemara that comes out l'maskon of the Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is gzeir mishum chatas shemesu baleo. The Gemara says the case is that we know for a fact that one of the people died, otherwise we would not be chayshish for misa. And then the Gemara asks Akasha, v'nivar arbo zuzi v'nishti b'mayo, v'hanoch nishtiru. Let's take out 4 zuz, the amount of money the person put in to buy his chatos, and we'll throw it into the yam. That's then what you're supposed to do with money that was designated for a chatos, and then the Balaam died. And the Gemara says that this will be totally in Breira, and Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Breira. Now the obvious kasha is, even if you do hold of Breira, how can we possibly say that we'll randomly take 4 zuz, and we'll say that this is the zuz that belonged to the person who died? How can we assume that this is his money? Even with Breira, that doesn't help us over here. Breira is used, for example, like the Gemara says later on, about Shnei Lugim Shani Osid Lahafrish, where there was a barrel of wine and he wants to drink from it, and he wants to say that the Lugim that he's going to be Mafrish later will be Truma or Meiser. And using Breira, you could say that even though it wasn't separated till later, but Breira tells us that L'mafreya, this was always destined to be what was eventually chosen. But here in our case, there are 4 zuzim that are mixed in over here that belonged to the person who died, and it's already chal on it, it has a din of chatas shemesu baleo, it has to be thrown into the yam. How can we use Breira to tell us that this is the money that belonged to the dead person? So the Tosfos Yeshanim over here on Amud Beis, Divar Maschil, V'Nivar, Arbar Zuzi, as well as the Ritva, they ask this kasha, how could Breira work over here? And the Tosfos Yeshanim gives a teretz that the Gemara means that originally when each person puts his money into the shofar, he should make a tenai that if one of the people whose money is here in the shofar, they die, then we could choose 4 zuzim and throw it into the yam. And even if it ends up being my money, then this money should really be for him. And in return, I'll get his money, the person who died, his money will be for my cane. So if each person puts his money in conditionally, then using Breira, we could say that if someone eventually dies, then it was Hover Lemafreya, that the money that was thrown into the yam, whoever may have put this money into the shofar, but all along it was destined to be for this person who eventually died. This is the Mahalach of the Tosfos Rishonim. However, the Ritva brings a different pshat. He asks this kasha as well, how can we possibly say that we take out four zuzim and we assume that it belonged to the person who died? He says, how is this different than any other Isser veheter shenis arvu? When Isser falls into heter, and there is not enough heter to be mevatel the Isser, could we randomly take out an amount identical to the Isser that fell in and say that through Breira it was determined that this is the Isser? Surely you can't do such a thing. So he quotes B'Shem Rabbi Senu at Sarfatim, that this is different from when Isser falls into Heter. When Isser falls into Heter, at the time that it was Nis'arev, it was already Osir. There we can't use Breira to tell us that we can take out a certain amount and assume that this was the Isser. However, in our case, at the time when the money was Nis'arev, when everyone's money was mixed together, at that time, no one's money was Osir. It was all Heter. So even though later on one person's money becomes Isser, it gets a din of Chatas Shemesu Baleo, there we can use Breira to say that we'll take out four Zuzim and we'll assume that that's the money that belonged to the person who died. And he compares this to the case of Shnei Lugim Chani Osid Lahafrish. There also there's a Taruvis of Isser Veheter. There's a Taruvis of Truma and Chulin. And we use Breira to tell us that what he's going to take out later, that was Truma all along. The only reason we could do this, he says, is because at the time that they were Nis'ariv, when all of this wine was mixed together, originally, there was no Isser and no Heter, there we can use Breira that even though later on some of it becomes Truma, now there's a Taruvus of Isser veHeter, so Breira could tell us that we could later take out Shnei Lugim and say that this all along was the Truma. Now Tosfos in Tmura Daf Lamed Amud Aleph says this same Yesod. He's Mechalek between a case when the Isser and Heter were Nis'ariv, there Breira cannot help. But if at the time that it was Nis'ariv, everything was Heter, there Breira could help. And Tosfos there also compares our case to the case of Shnei Lugim, Shani Osid Lahafish. And the Achronim ask, this Tosfos seems to be a Pella. How can Tosfos compare our case to the case of Shnei Lugim, Shani Osid Lahafish? There the Truma was never determined until later on. Until later on when he separates Shnei Lugim, he says that this is Truma, so we say that through Breira, this was destined all along to be the Lugim of Truma. But our case is a mixture of different people's money. Four Zuzim belonged to one specific person who eventually died. Now Enoch and Ami, when the money was mixed together, there was no Isser and no Heter, but still each Zuz belonged to one specific person. And when one person dies, his money gets a din of Chatos Shemesu Baleo, that specific money now becomes Isser. So now there's clearly a Taruvus of Isser Veheter. There's a Taruvus of money which has a din Chatos Shemesu Baleo, and there's money which is Roy for a carbon. How can we use Breira later on to tell us that four Zuz which we randomly take out, that's the Zuz which has a din Chatos Shemesu Baleo? How can Breira do such a thing? It's against all logic. Chasam Sofer in Arachaim, Simen Kuf Choftes, he says that clearly Tosfos does not mean to say such a thing. It has no logic bechlal. In the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, Yerudea Simen Ayin, he discusses this Tosfos, and he also says that clearly the Tosfos does not mean to say such a thing. Clearly the Svar of Tosfos is only in the case that when the Isser is Chal, it's not Chal on one specific part of the Taroivis. Like for example, the case of Shnei Lugim Shani Osid Lahafish, originally, he did not designate which two lugim should be the truma. In that case, we could use Breira to say that when he eventually separates two lugim, that was destined to be the two lugim of truma all along. So what is the pshat of Tosfos in Tmura and the Ritva by us? How can they use this svara to answer our sugya? So the Beis Ephraim says, based on a truma sadeshen in Simen Shin Yudalid, the truma sadeshen says that if a few shutfim all put money into one kiss, into one wallet, then become shutfim in each and every pruta of the kiss. And if some of the money gets lost, then each person loses out according to the ratio that he had in all of the money. And he explains the pshat is because since they put the money together, they trusted each other, they're not makbid on each other, then all of the money becomes money of shutfis. And the intention is that there should be no single coin designated for one specific person. And with this he explains by this shofar of kinim as well, when everyone puts their money in, nobody is makbid that their cane should come specifically from their coin that they put in. And therefore they all have a din of shutfim. And when one person dies, the din chatas shemesu baleo is not chal on any specific coin. Rather it's chal bichlolius, it's chal on all of the money in the shofar, that 4 zuz worth of this money has a din chatas shemesu baleo. Therefore, it's similar to the case of shnei lugim shani osid lahafrish. It was never determined which specific money gets a din chatas shemesu baleo. Just like by the truma, it was never determined which lugim have a din truma on them. This is what Tosis means to say, that if there was never iser before the mixture, the iser came after, meaning to say it came after and it was never designated on one specific part of the tyrovis, then we could use Breyer later on to say that what's eventually separated from the mixture, this was destined all along to be the chalik where the iser was chal.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.